This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Oh, boy.
So now...
But is it yours?
I mean, with the timing and everything, it 100% seems like it. And then what we
so
were
do you have
to,
a child today from her?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, so her name is Chloe. She's 4.
Beautiful name.
And she lives in Indiana with the mother's sister.
Okay. So and you're accepting of this?
She's great. She's great where she's at right now. Okay. And we'll connect those dots.
Chloe?
Yes. Okay. Yep. So now she drops the charges, but the state can still pick the charges up. So the state can still, and I mean, I'm looking at like serious time. These aren't like soft charges. This is like really bad stuff.
Like a multiple felonies.
Yeah, I mean, this is really
bad.
How
much time?
I mean, probably a minimum 5 years. There's no way that it was going to be less than 5 years.
For a young fellow like you, that's like a lifetime.
Right, and I mean, and it should have been, it probably would have been more if I had any prior anything.
So what happens?
So my lawyer calls me one day and says, Joey, you're not going to believe this. I go, what? She goes, the state didn't pick the charges up.
Wow.
She goes, I have no explanation for it. She goes, we knew the girl wasn't going to be cooperative, and the state knows she's not going to cooperate because she signed paper saying, I'm not going to cooperate, so don't bother me. She goes, but the state always picks these up, these domestic. They're trying to make a point, you know, that they don't tolerate it. She goes, they didn't pick it up. So you're free. Go meet your,
You can go back to see her again legally?
Yeah, it's like it never happened. I had an ankle monitor on at this time because I was out on bond.
Oh,
so I literally
you're
got
looking
to,
at 5 years to 10 years?
And I'm
oh
free.
You're free. So what happens next?
So they take my ankle monitor off. literally an hour later, my stepdad calls me, who I haven't spent a lot of time with in like 5 years.
And says what?
And he says, Joey, I just got a phone call from my agency. He's a traveling MRI tech. He like goes all over the country doing that.
Yeah.
He goes, and I just got a job in Alaska, and I've been wanting to go. It's summertime in Alaska. He's like, look, you just got out of all this crazy trouble. Why don't you just come with me? Why don't you just get out of town?
Wise advice.
Wise
get
advice.
Away from that bad companionship ruins good character, the Bible says.
But I have now my next thing I have to tell him is, yeah, but she's pregnant. And
so
he goes,
what?
Well, I guess you got to bring her with you.
Oh, no.
Get both of you guys out of there. So I do that.
Oh, no.
So the two of us and my stepdad go up to Fairbanks, Alaska. She's like, you know, a month pregnant or something.
Up there with the chosen frozen.
Yeah, so my first thing is, okay, where am I going to find a job, right? So I find this big two-story restaurant and bar.
Yeah.
Big karaoke bar up top. Because I know she can bartend, and I can serve and bartend, and I'm thinking that's just a great idea.
Yeah. And so, since so many people in Alaska are alcoholics, this is just going to be great.
It's going to be money-making.
Oh,
yeah.
My word.
So,
the party continue down the hole again.
Because the guys up there are usually single, and they're making tons of money on, like, the
fishing,
oil, or there's huge construction up there. I mean, there's crazy money to be made up there because nobody wants to go up there. And but what they do is they go to the bars and they spend tons of money. Tons of money. So we do that.
I know some of these fishermen pulling 40,000 a hole in one week.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Coming back from those deep, what's that TV show where the waters,
Something Catch. Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch.
Yeah. So we're going and we're making good money. We get a place. We get a place living with these two girls. They had a third bedroom available for cheap. And so, because my stepdad, he goes on to his next job.
Where?
I think he goes to Pittsburgh or Texas or something.
Just you should have gone to Texas.
Because I was supposed to keep going with him. Wherever he went, I was just going to keep going.
So you got stuck. You got frozen in Alaska.
I get stuck, yeah. So things are actually going reasonably well.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She's not drinking, keep in mind. She stopped everything cold turkey, right, when she found out she was pregnant. She smoked, too. Cool. And quit smoking. I mean,
for the baby.
For the baby. Everything.
See, there's an essential goodness there.
Well, and I saw it, and so I'm hopeful at this point. I'm like, maybe this is actually.
It's amazing how many women get dry, get clean for their baby. There's something instinctual, and that's very honorable.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's the greatest position in the world to be a mom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
closest thing to God we have on earth.
Yeah. So this made me advocate for her, especially to my mom and sisters, who are like, they're legitimately angry with me for the first time in our in my life. You know, like they aren't talking to me. They are really mad because I got back together with this girl and got her pregnant and then brought her with me to Alaska
and
lied to them.
They're angry because they're fearful.
They're fearful. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're hurt. For you.
Yeah, and they're hurt because I went against my better judgment and their advice.
You're their adorable little brother they want to protect.
Right. So everything's actually pretty good up until she has a baby. She has a baby and she starts drinking again. The first time that she drinks again after that, she was with a couple of girlfriends that we worked with, and they were nice girls. And they were just at the place that we work, so it wasn't anything crazy. I was always the trusting guy. I'm like, yeah, go have fun, whatever, it's fine. So she comes home and is violent right away. So the first thing I do is I call the police. I say, listen, I need you guys here. I was like, because there's nobody else was home. The girls were like out of town or something.
Oh,
so
boy.
We were there by ourselves, and she is hitting me. And I'm holding our baby, and she's hitting me, and she's just acting, I mean, just wild. So the cops show up. I tell them, listen, we've been down this road before. I was like, I am not going back to jail. I need somebody here to know that what's going on. I was like, I have not put any hands on her. I was like, I don't know what you guys need to do, but like, we need to be separated or something.
So what happens?
So they basically say, well, you know, you guys both live here, so I can't tell anybody to leave.
So in Florida, somebody has to go to prison.
Right. So in Alaska, I guess they do it a little different because they're just like, all right, if you guys can just calm down and whatever. So she stopped, you know, went to sleep or whatever. But at that point, right there, I knew.
You got to vamoose.
Yeah, I got to do something.
Because there ain't going to be a solid truce.
No, because I still have, I mean, I'm still traumatized from, I wasn't a jail, somebody that was destined for jail, like growing up the way that I did and everything. So I'm still a little bit traumatized.
Either was Joseph, either was, you know.
Right. So.
You kind of like look like you would expect Joseph to look.
I'll take it. Yeah. So now, I think we got 1 month from now, my sister is about to get married here in like Fort Pierce or in Vero.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to come down for her wedding, obviously. So I devised this plan.
Where's the baby now? Who's taking care of the baby?
We both are.
Okay. But you fly down without her.
No. So this is where I devised the crazy plan.
The crazy plan.
My plan is to come back with Courtney, with the girl and the baby.
We don't know the last name. It's okay.
And tell her, listen, like, this is a serious problem.
Yeah.
You need to get help or something here, and you need to be with your family. Like, I'm like, if I stay up there with her and we're alone, like, this is going to go bad.
Yeah.
So I convince her to stay in Florida, and I'm going to go back and carry on my life with the baby.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea. I mean, none of that's good. But all my only thought was I just have to get away from this girl.
So what happens?
So I do it, and I end up flying back to Fairbanks, Alaska with a 2-month-old baby by myself.
And she stays here?
So
you're rearing the child.
So I'm rearing the child.
So she's off having a party. She's giving the responsibility over to you.
Well, unfortunately, I wish it was that good, but I wasn't being good at this time. I was starting to use meth. So my thought process was all out of whack. Yeah. I was in like a flight mode, you know, just trying to get things, just get separated from her. But then what do? I have a baby now, you know? So anyway, I go back to Alaska, and I'm there for maybe like a month and a half or something. And then without even telling me she's coming back, she just pops back up. She just flies back and shows back up at the house. So at this point, my, you know, fight or flight really kicks in. And so I just move out of the place that I was living at, because she was back and she insisted that she wasn't going to leave no matter what. So, and she had every right to be there because we were both on the lease. So I take off, and at this point I don't have a house anymore. So that was my
oh boy.
That's my first step towards being actually homeless. So at this point, I don't have a relationship with my daughter anymore, really, because I don't live at the same place. Mm-hmm. I like I said, I started getting involved in drug use and stuff. So, and that's where I meet this lower level of con men in society that I didn't even know existed.
Whoa.
In Fairbanks, Alaska. I have a problem with one of my vehicles, and I meet this guy. I'm at a bar or something. I'm talking about it. He goes, "Oh, well, I know some people that have a shop, and you know they'll let you come because it's cold up there. You know, so you got to work inside. So they're like, you can come to this shop and you can fix your vehicle up, and they won't charge you anything to be in there. They're pretty cool. So I go there, and they have this place dressed up to where it actually looks like a semi-legitimate place.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it's not a legitimate place at all. It's just a drug den. And the person who owns it is the son of a very wealthy local.
Mm-hmm.
He has given his son this place that has all these bays and everything and all these tools and everything like that. His son's like in his 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. He's an older guy, but he's just a drug addict. And so all these people have gravitated to there just because it's a space that they can live in. You know, I mean, there's like a residential side of this shop. I mean, it was this huge, probably like 7,500 square foot place. So next thing you know, I find myself there, and it turns out that they basically pull people like me there that have money and that are like right, that still have like kind of a normal life, but are slipping into this horrible, you know, dark side of, mm-hmm. of living, and they make sure they get all the way there. So they con you out of your money. They steal from you. They basically like manipulate you into like helping them do weird stuff. I mean, it was just a crazy thing. Like, and I mean, these are guys, you see their bag and they have 200 credit cards like this, you know, and they have all these stolen phones and iPads, and they're going through every single one of them, going through every app, financial app, trying to get into it and try to steal any money they can from whoever they can, cash apps, whatever. I mean, they make a living just by doing this.
Mm. And it's not, as I told you, I met somebody like that, and he said it's the thrill of it.
Right.
Because they're usually quite brilliant. If they went into legitimate business, they could do well.
Yeah, so many of them were. They were, but that was the thing. They were able to put on like a different front, you know, when you first meet them, and they do. They seem like actually just intelligent, regular people, and then it turns out they are just absolute criminals.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The power.